at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. All across the country today, thousands of students walked out of class to protest gun laws in the wake of the Parkland High School shootings in Florida. In North Texas and most of the state, kids are on spring break, so there's no class to walk out of. Today on the public radio show, The Takeaway, Parker Butler, a senior at Liberty High School in Frisco, spoke about why protesting is important to him.
My class, a senior class, was born in 1999 and 2000. Columbine happened in 1999. So we've lived this through our entire upbringing, but we've never really had a voice in the actual issue.
The Trump administration recently announced it will launch a commission to explore ways to strengthen school security in the aftermath of shooting deaths at a Florida high school. KUT's Claire McInerney reports on what Texas already does in terms of school safety and what lawmakers are pushing for.
The federal commission, chaired by Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos, will look at policy and funding options to increase school security. But here in Texas, school security is something many schools have in place. After the Columbine school shooting in 1999, Texas started the School Safety Center, based out of Texas State. This organization helps schools around the state prepare for different kinds of disasters, like weather events or acts of violence. Joseph McKenna is the center's associate director for research and education. He says with something like a school shooting, the center promotes a few options for schools to improve safety.
You limit the amount of access points to a school, right? It could be working with your local county law enforcement. It could be, you know, the Marshall program. It could be arming staff. You know, we have districts across the state that use all of these different measures.
McKenna says every community will have different needs. Some, where police response times are fast, might feel more comfortable without arming educators. But rural parts of Texas, where response times are slower, might gravitate toward that option. Arming teachers is one of the top suggestions President Trump and congressional Republicans are considering. But again, it's something already being done to some extent here in Texas. The school marshal program allows educators to get trained and certified to carry a gun in the classroom. Austinite Robert Ferrargo runs a website called The Truth About Guns. He says arming teachers is the best way to stop an active shooter in a school.
And that threat has to be eliminated by force. Now, the police showing up, that's great. But people who are on the site, if they have a firearm, they can do a lot to reduce the amount of carnage being created.
Two Texas Republican congressmen are also part of the national discussion on next steps to protect schools. Senator John Cornyn has a bill to strengthen background checks for people buying guns. Representative Roger Williams proposed one that would create grants to help schools pay for better security. Austin Congressman Democrat Lloyd Doggett doesn't support either bill.
Bills like that of Senator Cornyn and Representative Williams is really an excuse and a political contrivance to avoid taking bold action that's needed to confront the National Rifle Association.
He wants to see Congress pass laws that create more comprehensive background checks, funding for community health programs, and a ban on assault rifles. Claire McInerney, KUT News.
A federal judge dismissed a lawsuit yesterday against the Irving School District and the city. It was filed by the father of Ahmet Mohammed, a teenager whose homemade clock was mistaken for a bomb. KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports.
The federal lawsuit alleged Ahmed Mohammed's civil rights were violated in September 2015. Irving police took him into custody at MacArthur High School and charged him with making a hoax bomb. The charge against the teen, who became known as Clock Boy, was later dropped. This week's dismissal is for a version of the lawsuit that was originally filed in August 2016. It had been amended twice since then. The suit filed by Mohammed El Hassan Mohammed on behalf of his son had asked for unspecified damages. On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Sam Lindsay ordered that the suit against the defendants be dismissed with prejudice. Ahmed Mohammed was 14 at the time of the incident. His lawyers argued that he did not pose a legitimate threat when he brought a homemade clock to school. In a statement released Wednesday, the city of Irving said it was pleased with the judge's order and remains committed to ensuring the safety of Irving residents and school children. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Some of the most far-out ideas in technology are being discussed this week at South by Southwest's Interactive Conference. KERA's Christy Robinson has been reporting on the conference from Austin. She sat down with Art and Seek's Ann Bothwell to talk about what the future might hold.
Christy Robinson, South by Southwest is usually focused on the entertainment industry, but the Interactive Conference really gets beyond that.
Right. So many people were talking about so many things. Government, law enforcement, futurism, health, you name it. One of the more out there and interesting sessions I attended was about holograms. It was led by a guy named Mike Pell, who's an envisioner at Microsoft Garage.
An envisioner?
Yes, yes. That's his actual job title. His job is to experiment with virtual reality, augmented reality, and mixed reality. And he dreams up new uses for them that no one's ever thought of before.
Okay, that is a lot of different kinds of reality. Can you explain what those are?
Yeah, okay. So the exact definitions are still being debated, but it basically goes something like this. With virtual reality, you're immersed into a computer-generated environment. When you put on a VR headset, you see a real but simulated scene of, let's say, a beach. Virtual reality surrounds you and tricks your senses into thinking that you're really there. With augmented reality, you're still seeing reality, but you're able to experience something else, too. Think of games like Pokemon Go, for instance.
So what's mixed reality, then?
Mixed reality is similar to augmented reality. In fact, there's a lot of debate about the exact difference between them. But mixed reality is where you'll find holograms. Holography allows the projection of a 3D image into the space in front of you. It doesn't require any special equipment like headsets or a smartphone app or anything. You can walk around it and see all sides of it. It's just there right in front of you.
I know all of these things are coming soon, but I still grapple with, what are the practical ways that we're going to use them? What kind of ideas are people like Mike Pell imagining?
Well, where there's an empty hotel lobby, for instance, he sees a hologram of a DJ spinning music. He also wants to know why when you're reading a book and you come upon, let's say, an epic battle scene, why can't you call up a hologram of the battle so you can watch it unfold?
That is going to be mind-blowing. Are these things coming soon?
Well, that technology does exist, but it still needs to be perfected. Getting it to the next level is going to involve people like Mike Pell just starting to think up crazy things and simply doing them.
Artificial intelligence has been all over the news lately, and there's been a lot of cultural discussion around, are robots going to take over all of our jobs? What was the tone of the discussion there?
Well, at just about all the sessions that I attended, the vibe was really positive. I mean, I know that this conference is full of people who have a major stake in technology not being viewed in a sinister way, right? But many of the speakers that I heard made really compelling cases for a truly more meaningful future because of technology, not in spite of it.
And you even went to a session about the way police might use technology to improve their relationships with the community.
Yeah, the panelists there were saying technology is making law enforcement agencies more transparent. It can also make them better at communicating compassion and care to their communities.
So how are they going to do that?
Well, I think they're just now beginning to wrestle with that question. But one example was from a company called SpiderTech. That's a platform that automates some policing tasks, and their aim is to save departments money, yeah, but also to build trust. For instance, when a victim files a report, they can get an automated but personalized email that contains information on their case and next steps. The victim feels heard, and that sort of automated communication does free up departments to focus on the more face-to-face aspects of relationship building. That's just one small example, though. Even the panelists stressed how complicated it is to build relationships. So we'll have to see whether technology will actually play a big enough role in solving complex problems like how communities relate with police.
Christy Robinson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne.
You can find out more about holograms and read all of our coverage of South by Southwest at artandseek.org. For the evening, should be mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 50 later on tomorrow, partly sunny with a high around 75, and tomorrow night cloudy, a 20% chance for showers with a low around 62. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.